Good morning. Steve's thought for the day at the beginning of this new week on this Monday morning. And I trust as I speak to you today that you've had a pleasant weekend, enjoyed some of the nice weather, and perhaps been around people who brought great joy into your life. We're going to start something new and a bit different for these next couple of weeks between myself and Ness. We've talked a lot in the last couple of weeks, not just us, but many people have used the word repentance, particularly in response to the Black Lives Matter and a lot of the conversation around that. It's a powerful, strong word. It's one of those words that's very difficult to just skimp over or use in a flippant way. But with that in mind, we're going into the Old Testament. And what we are going to do for these next couple of weeks is go through what are known as the minor prophets. So that's Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. You may not be familiar with these books. You may be very familiar with them. And obviously, just in the few minutes that we've got, this isn't any sort of Bible study or deep look into everything surrounding them. It's just a quick glimpse. And I would invite you to go beyond just the thought that I or Ness share this week. And just have a little dig yourself. Just read them. None of them are particularly long. You could probably read most of them, you know, individually in about 15 minutes each. But we just want to give you a little bit of a taste. Because, of course, prophets were people, particularly in an Old Testament context, who spoke right into the political, social culture of the day. Constantly, the message behind it all was a sense of repentance, a sense of turn back to God. Somehow you've lost your way and lost your focus, and we need to get you back on track with what's right and good and honouring the Lord. And that's the whole sense of these minor prophets. Just be intrigued. And I must owe some of my thinking to a book that I read some time ago and again recently by a great friend of mine. And the book is titled 12 Dead Men Speak. And the book centres around the idea that these things are relevant today as they were in the context they were written thousands of years ago. So the first of these is Hosea. And the surrounding culture of the day was in a sense quite good and happy. It was a time where there was peace and there was plenty. Assyria and Egypt were mega empires. But they were in decline. Part of it was to do with leadership that had taken over and not been able to guide them in the right way. Other things had happened that had really just taken the weight out of their impact and influence, and they were massively on the decline. And yet, the nation of Israel was on the way up. It had an economy that was thriving. The cities were booming. There was a sense of well-being about the people. People were well off. And of course, in the time of peace and prosperity and all that sort of word that we use, then people, as we know, human nature is that people tend to indulge themselves. And they were going around doing everything that money could buy, almost a pursuit of pleasure, you know, which led to a lot of sexual promiscuity, drunkenness, all that sort of revelry that went on. And then you get to chapter 4. And these words are spoken. I suppose if you were in a court and somebody said, what are the charges against this nation? This is what you come up with. The prosecution would say, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns. But then we come back to this great word, repentance. We could ask a number of questions, but time won't allow us. About our own lives, about the society in which we live. Have we exchanged the truth of God for a lie as a people? Have I individually exchanged the truth of God for a lie? Am I keeping my promises? Am I sticking to the vows I made before God? At the end of the book, there's a great sense of coming back to God. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 3. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Let's acknowledge the Lord. Let's press on to acknowledging him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. We know that God more than doesn't like sin. It's the massive destructive element from Genesis right through till when the earth comes to a close. And anything we can do to get rid of it is always going to be a bonus to the kingdom of God. So I'm saying to you today, in your prayers, in your soul searching, come on, just have a look. How are you? How's you and God today? Are the things you've said and done, ways that you've behaved, that you feel disappointed within yourself? Imagine how God feels. As a father, I love my kids desperately. There's been the very odd time when perhaps they've done things when they were younger that disappointed me. But I love them. And I want them to get back on track and forget those things and not do them again. That's the cry of God as our Father. And so, this morning, I just want to pray and ask that the lesson of Hosea might be a really, really powerful one. And in our seeming wealth and prosperity, we won't lose sight of what really matters, what really has value. And that's our relationship with God. Lord, we come to you on this new day of a new week. Take our hearts, cleanse us, wash our minds. May the content of our very soul be righteous because it filters through you and your love for us. Oh God, speak to us, we pray. And I pray today just would be an uplifting day for us all to know your incredible presence in our lives. Make a great day. Carpe diem.